Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu. And now for today's newscast.
Welcome to KUOI News. Happy homecoming, everyone. It's Friday, October 7th, and I'm Britt Kaiser. On today's show, we have, for news, information about the Vandal fireworks, serpentine, and bonfire traditions, a preview of the parade and pancake feed hosted by the Moscow Fire Department, and a list of this weekend's homecoming events. For RAR, your weekly horoscopes. For sports, a recap of Wednesday's volleyball game, a preview of Saturday's homecoming football game versus La Tech, and a piece on the athletic department's latest campaign, Throwing the V. For opinion, an editorial piece about the death of Steve Jobs, and a roundtable centered on homecoming celebrations. First, here's Michelle with information about the homecoming parade and pancake feed.
The homecoming theme might change each year, but Saturday will begin with two annual traditions, a parade and pancakes. The Moscow Fire Department will hold its annual pancake feed safety fair fundraiser from 7 to 10 a.m. at the Moscow Fire Station. After the feed and fundraiser, the University of Idaho will hold its annual homecoming parade. Cars and floats will roll through town, beginning by the Corner Club and continuing down Main Street at 10 a.m. Joe Williams, captain of Moscow Fire Department, said people are encouraged to come and eat breakfast before the homecoming parade. The breakfast was donated by University of Idaho and includes pancakes and Vandal sausages that will be served by the fire department volunteers. Cost for the breakfast is $5 for adults and $3 for children, which can be paid at the door, Joe Williams said. The event also includes a safety fair, which has booths from local government agencies such as the Red Cross and Moscow Police Department. Joe Williams said the money from the pancake feed goes toward a scholarship for members of the Moscow Fire Department. Scott Williams, Moscow Fire Department safety training officer, said in the past they've had good attendance at the pancake feed. Scott Williams said it's greatly supported by the community, and they usually end up seating 300 to 400 people. The morning events continue with UI's annual homecoming parade, which has been one of the main events of homecoming for more than 100 years. Katie Dollinger, Assistant Director of Alumni Relations, said the parade receives great attendance from both Moscow community and the university. Although the parade has generally been the same for some time, Dollinger said it still maintains the all-around support from Moscow community and University of Idaho. Taylor Marshall, Homecoming Committee Chair, said attending the parade is a great way to transition into the game later that afternoon. For KUI News, I'm Michelle Gregg.
Thanks, Michelle. Now here's Nick with some Vandal homecoming traditions, the bonfire, serpentine, and fireworks.
Tonight is a night of tradition. It will signal the start of homecoming weekend and involve serpentine, bonfire, homecoming court, most vandalized fan competition, and fireworks. The serpentine will begin at University of Idaho President M. Dwayne Nellis' house at 8 p.m. and wind its way down New Greek and Old Greek Row, picking up students along the way. It will then travel up 6th Street by the Living Learning Community, the Theophilus Tower, and Wallace Residence Center until the group reaches the Kibbe Dome parking lot. The marching band will play throughout the event. Jill Schweising, Sr., has participated in the event for 3 years as part of the band. "I think it's a great thing that unifies the school," Schweising said. "All the students can get together and march to the dome. It has a lot of tradition." Once everyone arrives at the Kibbe Dome, the bonfire will begin. Football coach Rob Akey will speak, as well as athletic director Rob Spear, who will also have the Louisiana Tech flag. As a tradition, Spear will ask a volunteer to burn the flag in the bonfire. Nellis and the football captains may also give speeches after the flag burning. Also, at the bonfire, will be the most vandalized fan competition. One member from each homecoming team will be dressed, painted, and covered in a vandal spirit to represent what each team thinks is the most vandalized fan. The crowd will then act as a team of judges, and whoever receives the loudest applause and cheers will win the title. The bonfire will also be the location of the homecoming royalty crowning. Voting, which ended Wednesday, determined the king and queen, as well as first and second runners-up. The 6 winners will comprise the homecoming court. Shortly after the crowning, competition and speeches, the fireworks will begin. "We want them to be as big, as fun, and as special as we possibly can," said Kelly Grove, co-chair of the homecoming committee. The fireworks are the only element of the homecoming festivities that require fundraising. The Alumni Association provides funding based on a budget for everything else, including posters and the parade. Funds for the fireworks came from five different outlets. The Living Groups, which are comprised of fraternities, sororities, and on-campus housing, donated a total of $1,500. ASUI donated $1,000. Several campus offices donated a total of $1,500. The Alumni Association donated an additional $1,000, and the remaining $3,500 needed to fund the fireworks show came from fundraising at different local events and tailgating, said Tim Helmke, Associate Director of Alumni Relations. For KUOI News and Katie Sword, I'm Nick Groff.
Thanks, Nick. And here's Matt to kick off today's RAR section with your weekly horoscopes.
Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. Today isn't your day. Stand tall and keep your chin up. Remember, keeping a positive attitude about yourself is the key. And don't forget those lucky rocket ship underpants. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. It's time for a new project. The culinary gene may not run in your family, but challenges are good for you. Just remember that even though your mom knows how to clean mud out of the oven, she's not here to do it. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. Being assertive might seem sensible, but trust the counsel of others. You don't always need to do things your way. Be willing to make a trade at lunchtime. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. Staying active is a good choice, but it's okay to treat yourself once in a while. Go ahead and sit closer to the screen this time. Research is inconclusive about the effects on your vision. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. Some people don't like rationality. Try a blunter strategy when logic and a calm demeanor fail. Even if your face sticks, there's always plastic surgery. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. Your week has been a lot like a seesaw. It's had ups and downs. Beware of those who look like they'll balance you. They may lead you to your peak and let you fall. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. Be careful of overreaction. Think twice. That special someone probably doesn't need a frog in his or her backpack to understand your affection. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. It isn't nice to lie, unless it's worse to tell the truth. Be sensitive. When the question comes, don't deflect. Walmart has more plasma televisions. Gemini, May 21st through June 21st. 1 + 1 = 2, but that doesn't mean two good things make something better. Sometimes one is enough. Seriously, enough. Cancer, June 22nd through July 22nd. Roses are red and violets are blue. You love your pet, but it doesn't love you. Spend some quality time with your furry/scaly/feathery friend, and it may prove to be more affectionate. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. When that person gets you down this week, remember the sticks and stones adage. Failing that, give them a taste of their own medicine and throw a dictionary at them. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Be at peace. Your world will not always be this hectic. For now, make like water and go with the flow. For KUOI News, I'm Matt Ma.
That was Boise band Youth Lagoon with Posters. Now, here's Kevin to begin today's sports section with a recap of Wednesday's volleyball game.
Led by sophomore Allison Walker's fifth consecutive double-double, the Idaho volleyball team completed its seventh sweep of the season, defeating Eastern Washington Wednesday night on the road. The Vandals got the sweep, but it wasn't the prettiest win they've had this year, as they committed 28 team errors. Idaho coach Debbie Buchanan said she wants to see her team play at a higher level. After winning a hard-fought first set, Idaho fell behind in the second and were trailing 21-19 down the stretch. But Idaho went on a 6-0 run to close out the set and take a commanding 2-0 lead. The Vandals carried that momentum into the third set and quickly took an 8-0 lead, sealing Eastern Washington's fate. The Eagles would never get closer than 5 in a set as Idaho took it, 25-19, cementing the victory. Buchanan said it was a match where she saw a lot of good things and a lot of things the Vandals need to improve on. Walker led Idaho with a season-high 24 kills. Junior setter Jenny Fite also captured her fifth double-double of the season with 45 assists and 11 digs. Senior libero Cassie Hamilton also pitched in with 22 digs. The Vandals are off to a solid start this season, but will have to guard against the same trap they fell into last year, inconsistency. Last year, the Vandals had trouble playing at a high level from night to night. This season, Idaho has been able to compete with every team they've played, but still struggle with errors. The Vandals will get back to WAC play when they begin a three-match homestand, beginning with defending conference champion Utah State at 7 p.m. in Memorial Gym Friday. The Vandals will then host Nevada next Thursday and Fresno State on Saturday. For KUOI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Thanks, Kevin. And now over to Madison and Anthony with a preview of Saturday's football game versus La Tech.
This weekend, the 1-4 Idaho Vandals will host the 1-4 Louisiana Tech Bulldogs in Moscow. Not only does this weekend mark an important matchup in the Western Athletic Conference, but also the Vandals' homecoming weekend as well. The Vandals fell to the Bulldogs in Ruston, Louisiana last fall in a heartbreaking game which ended up being a loss of 48-35 for the Vandals and one of the key matchups that took the Vandals out of bowl contention. Both teams have had a rough beginning to their season, but four of the last five games La Tech have played have gone to the bitter end with the Bulldogs coming out with only one win against Central Arkansas at home in overtime. On the road so far, the Dogs have been tamed by Mississippi State in overtime as well, had a close one against Southern Mississippi in week one, and lost to Houston 35-34. In addition, last week the Bulldogs were put down by fellow WAC opponent Hawaii 44-26 at home. During that Hawaii game, junior wide receiver Quentin Patton caught his first touchdown of the day from freshman signal caller Nick Isham, but the extra point was blocked. Good news came, though, for La Tech, as the Warriors scored to tie the game, but their extra point was no good as well. Unfortunately for the Bulldogs, the Warriors scored twice more to go into the locker room at half, ahead 20-7. Isham came back from half to hook up with senior wide receiver Talib Akiro for another score, but Hawaii kept their play calls consistent and pulled ahead by four scores midway through the third quarter. Senior running back Lennon Creer had a short run to get in for a score for the Bulldogs, but the Warriors were able to stifle enough of Louisiana Tech's offense to keep the game out of Isham and company's reach. For the Bulldogs to hurt the Vandals this weekend, it is likely that we will see Isham pick on the cornerbacks Aaron Grimes and Matthew Harvey, since players in the defensive back positions have struggled this year for the Vandals. In addition, the Bulldogs have the league's top receiver in Quentin Patton, who is also ranked 18th nationally in catches per game at 7.2 and 9th in yards per game at 120.2. Now for a look at the Vandals, here's Anthony Saya.
Thanks, Madison. The Vandals haven't been part of as many close games as Louisiana Tech has, but the Vandals came out swinging at Virginia last weekend, only falling for a loss of 21-20 in overtime. Trailing 14-0 after one quarter, the Vandals got on the scoreboard twice with junior place kicker Trey Farquhar's field goals. Then, sophomore wide receiver Daniel Micheletti's return of the block punt brought Idaho within a two-point conversion to tie the game. On the two-point attempt, senior quarterback Brian Reeder's three-yard toss to junior wide receiver Marcel Posey tied the game with 3:11 to go at 14. Then, after the Cavaliers scored first in overtime, Idaho's Reeder found senior wide receiver Armani Johnson from 23 yards away. Excited off of the big play in overtime, the Vandals had the confidence to dial up another two-point play. This time, the try fell in favor of the Cavaliers. For coach Rob Akey, he said that the only way that this Vandal team would come away with any sort of success is they must put in the work. The team is capable of winning games, but they have to execute in all areas instead of a few. Last week against Virginia, the Vandals special teams unit stepped up in a big way with Daniel Micheletti scoring off of a punt block, Jesse Davis blocking a possible field goal, and punter Bobby Cowan averaging 51.2 yards per boot, his career best being a 76-yarder. The defense had a good game against Virginia as well, yielding two scores early in the game and held strong most of the way through the overtime session two. However, there are still concerns with the Vandals secondary as cornerbacks are continuing to get beat deep. More production from the defensive backs would make the Vandal defense a lot more cohesive of a unit. For the Vandal offense, having Princeton McCarty healthy is going to be key. Ryan Bass missed the last two games due to an unspecified internal illness and is questionable to play against Louisiana Tech. Through the first three games, the junior was leading the team with 117 rushing yards, averaging 39.0 yards per game. If he is unable to play in Week 6, look for Princeton McCarty to continue to get the bulk of the carries, while Reeder will likely stick with his reliable targets in the receiving core. He'll look for Mike Scott, a junior college transfer who's the receiving leader with 31 catches for 402 yards, which earned him a spot on the Biletnikoff watch list earlier this season. Also, as a statistic of note, the Vandals have gone to 11 different receivers, 8 of which have caught at least 6 passes. For KUOI News in Madison McCord, I'm Anthony Saya.
Thanks, guys. Now here's Theo with a piece about the athletic department's latest marketing campaign.
For more than 100 years, Vandal pride has been instilled in students, staff, and athletes alike. It wasn't until this fall, though, that the Idaho Athletic Department decided to revolutionize a tradition that Vandals young and old take dear to their heart. With help from others, Director of Marketing and Licensing Nick Popowell has branded Vandal pride as the athletic department's latest marketing campaign. Proud Vandal fans have accepted this newfound theme and continue to define Vandal pride through the way of the V, a hand gesture that fans generated during football games. "It's so simple. I don't know why somebody didn't think of it before," Popowell said. "You look at Texas with the hook'em horns as well as Arizona State with the pitchforks, and our students are so creative. You have to think about what it means to us as Vandals and what it signifies. A celebratory gesture as well as identifying yourself as an Idaho Vandal, and that's what we kind of looked at." The athletic department has utilized a variety of methods to implement both the V gesture and Vandal Pride tagline. Primarily, all Idaho Vandal sports schedule posters have been stamped with Vandal Pride, and the soccer and football posters illustrate athletes throwing the V. In addition, the football team's brand new away jerseys feature the V logo on their collar. A focus group of ASUI members aided Popowell in crafting the Vandal Pride theme, something that ASUI President Samantha Perez found vital to student life at the university. "It's such a huge component of life here, having pride in your university and supporting all of our athletic events. Throw the V," Perez said.
By Boise band Youth Lagoon. Now here's Madison with an editorial piece about the death of Steve Jobs.
Look around the room without laying eyes on a product Steve Jobs didn't have a major role in developing. It's impossible. Everything from personal computers to smartphones were the brainchild of the greatest technological mind in the last 40 years. Jobs, who died Wednesday at the age of 56, was not only the CEO of Apple Incorporated, but a dedicated philanthropist and creative genius. His work within his own company, as well as outside of it, led to the creation of devices that now drive how society operates. Born in San Francisco in 1955, Jobs was adopted and raised in Mountain View, California. He was said to have an interest in technology from a young age, and after partnering with Steve Wozniak, began Apple in 1976. Jobs' list of accomplishments is long and includes technological feats like the introduction of the Macintosh computer in 1984, the iPod and iTunes in 2001, the iPhone in 2007, and the iPad in 2010. Jobs died only one day after the company released its newest version of the iPhone, which has become the world's most popular and best-selling cell phone since its introduction 4 years ago. Without the technology forged in Jobs' imagination, there is no doubt we would be living in a different world today. He was the first to put a mouse on a computer, he put a computer into a cell phone, and he made instant information sharing available to the masses. His company, Apple, informed the public with a comment on its website Wednesday evening. The epigraph put in perspective Jobs' impact on Apple and the world as a CEO and outstanding person. Apple has lost a visionary and creative genius, and the world has lost an amazing human being. Steve leaves behind a company that only he could have built, and his spirit will forever be the foundation of Apple, the website said. Whether the information was found on Facebook, Apple's website, or heard for the first time just now, the idea of losing a man like Jobs is not an easy concept to begin to understand. This was a man who seemed untouchable. He commanded every situation he was in and earned respect from his colleagues as well as competitors. Jobs, who had been battling pancreatic cancer since 2004, took 3 medical leaves of absence from his post at Apple before stepping down as CEO in August. During a 2005 commencement speech at Stanford University, Jobs said death is something everyone will face, and treating every day like it could be your last makes the furthest-reaching goals seem attainable. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make big choices in life, Jobs told Stanford's graduates. A quote from the movie The Sandlot sums up the life of Jobs better than anyone else can. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Jobs is, and always will be, a legend. For the editorial board and KUOI News, I'm Madison McCord.
Welcome to Opinion Roundtable. Today's topic is homecoming and the various traditions or celebrations it entails. Joining me are seniors Juan Corona and Melissa Flores. My first question for you guys is, what is your favorite homecoming celebration?
My favorite is definitely the tailgate, just because you get to see everybody's families and all of your friends in one place, and you can all get together and kind of share traditions and memories from like the past and present, and I think that's really fun.
I would definitely say that my favorite homecoming tradition is the serpentine bonfire and fireworks. Mm-hmm. I think I enjoy that, and it's been my favorite because, we start out at the president's house, and then we pick up every living group on campus that we can. So we go down to Old Greek, New Greek, and then we pick them up, and then we go up to the Kiwi Dome parking lot, and then, usually Coach Akey speaks, the homecoming committee gets introduced, all that, and then the fireworks show gets thrown out there. So that is definitely my favorite, bringing everyone together.
What would you guys recommend students, freshmen, basically anybody, any year, what would you recommend that they do to have the ultimate homecoming experience? Or what has made your guys' homecoming experiences?
I think definitely just like participate in everything throughout the week, mm-hmm. From like all of the competitions between departments and housing groups to like, you know, the serpentine, the bonfire, the tailgate, and take a lot of friends because that always makes it like more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, get involved, you know, from mm-hmm. kickoff that starts the Sunday before at the sub ballroom to the very last time, you know, thing, which is the game, and even after the game, just keep it up and just, you know, go to all the things, participate in blood drives, jingles, mm-hmm. And everything they have to offer.
And what would you guys say the importance of homecoming is on campus at the university?
I think it's just, like, bringing everybody together, like, Vandals past and present, so that, like, we can all kind of understand what it means to be a Vandal, like, to the older generation and kind of carry over some of that to mm-hmm. the new Vandals.
Yeah, just showing your tradition, I think, is very important during homecoming. I think it's a time where we just pretty much get to go crazy wearing your Vandal gear. And like we said, participate in all the events and just being proud of being a Vandal, being proud of a university, and then showing that pride.
As seniors, do you guys think that this year's homecoming is going to be a little bit more special to you?
I don't know. I do think it is, just because it's not going to be my last one, but it's going to be one of my last ones. But like they always seem to be a little bit different. There's always a unique theme and stuff, so for sure, just because of like the different people that are going to come up and visit and the different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then for me, it's definitely a different one and a really special one. It is my last one as an undergrad, so I am a little emotional about it. I don't know how I'm going to do with the last, you know, football game on Saturday for homecoming, but it's definitely special, and just to see everybody come up and then realizing that, you know, this is the last time that I can actually be an undergrad and just participate in it. And then I was nominated for Homecoming King, so that was kind of cool, and makes it a little bit special too. So it's definitely different, but definitely a good way.
Okay, so this year's theme is Viva Los Vandals.
Viva Los Vandals, yeah.
Okay. And Juan, you're also a part of the homecoming committee. How did you guys come up with that theme, and what is the significance of the theme this year?
So every year the homecoming committee, we start this year. So as soon as we're done with homecoming, new applications go out for all students to apply, and they're interviewed and they're hired, I guess, or whatever, put on the committee. And then we start in the spring, and then what we started out is we start picking the theme, and we get together. It's kind of our first retreat, and as a committee, we just kind of throw out ideas of what we want. Mm-hmm. And so this year, last spring, we came up with Viva Los Vandals. And we really wanted to go for the glitz and glamour of it all. You know, we thought Viva Los Vandals, kind of like Viva Las Vegas type thing, but we weren't focused so much on that. We were focused on the lights and everything that comes with it, all shiny, sparkly Taylor Marshall, our homecoming chair. That was kind of our main idea, and we went with it. And then once we pick a theme, we obviously have to present it to the university. Right. And it gets approved, and if not, we have to come back and go through it again. But they accepted it. We did jump some loopholes and got it, but that was the idea of it. Just long live the Vandals, so Viva Los Vandals, long live the Vandals. So we thought about Vandals in the present, in the past, and then hopefully in the future. And so that's kind of our main idea, was for the theme, just bringing all these generations. This is, you know, it's been over 100 years of tradition, and we just wanted to keep it up, so we thought this was a great theme to go along with it.
And that wraps up today's Opinion Roundtable. Here's your homecoming calendar of events for this weekend. Today, the main Vandal store is open for special hours and discounts from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Living group decorations are from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Airway Hills Miniature Golf Tournament is from 9 a.m. to dark. There's a Cal's Food Fair from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's a Vandal soccer match versus Hawaii at 4 p.m. at the Guywicks Field. The Clearwater Corn Maze is from 5 to 10 p.m. and there's a $5 admission. Alumni Vandal Fest lasts from 6 to 8 p.m. Come support our Vandal volleyball team as they play Utah State at 7 p.m. There's a free ASUI Vandal entertainment film, Viva Las Vegas, at 7 p.m. The theater production, Adoration of Dora, is at 7:30 p.m. It's free for all students, or otherwise a $10 general admission. Serpentine starts at 8 p.m. The bonfire rally and crowning of homecoming royalty is at 8:30 p.m., and fireworks will start at 9:15 p.m. On Saturday, there's an All Cal's alumni breakfast from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. The parade check-in is from 8 to 9:30 a.m. Moscow Firefighters Annual Pancake Feed and Safety Fair is from 8 to 10 a.m. The Moscow Farmers Market lasts from 8 a.m. to noon. The main Vandal store is open again for special hours and discounts from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Airway Hills Miniature Golf Tournament lasts from 9 a.m. to dark. The annual Cal's alumni meeting is from 9 to 11 a.m. The homecoming parade is at 10 a.m. All living groups will have open houses post-parade. All alumni are welcome. The Clearwater Corn Maze is from noon to 10 p.m. and there's a $5 admission. The Ag Days Barbecue is $7 for students and $10 for adults. It lasts from noon to 1:50 p.m. Go support our Idaho Vandal football team as they play La Tech at 2 p.m. There's a post-game celebration at the University Inn Best Western immediately after the game. There's a free ASUI Vandal Entertainment film, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, at 7 p.m. The theater production Adoration of Dora is at 7:30 p.m. It's free for all students or a $10 general admission. On Sunday, the Airway Hills Miniature Golf Tournament continues from 9 a.m. to dark. The main Vandal store is open again for special hours and discounts from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the theater production Adoration of Dora is at 2 p.m. It's free for all students, otherwise a $10 general admission. And that was your calendar of events for this homecoming weekend. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser. And that wraps up today's show. Today's featured artist was Boise's Youth Lagoon. For more information about Youth Lagoon, find them on Facebook. Now, here's their song, July, off their record, The Year of Hibernation. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.